Hey everyone, this is Ray Nenzel recording for Live Arts Podcast. I'm here in the balcony of the Downstage. It's been turned into a cabaret of sorts, kind of a vaudeville show, a jazz club for Sweeney Todd, the musical directed by John Gibson. Sweeney Todd opens December 12th. It runs through January 10th, and there's some bonus shows and some tricky shows around the holidays, so go to the website, livearts.org. Find out the exact show dates. This is the tech weekend. This is one of the final rehearsals. I heard places called about a minute ago, so I'm going to try to record some of the music and then interview John Gibson, the director, Doug Schneider, who plays Sweeney Todd, and Mrs. Lovett is being played by Lydia Horan, and maybe I'll grab an additional cast member, and I'll report back. This looks like it's going to be a good show just from the costumes I see hanging on the wall, and I see on the actors as they take their final places. So, December 12th it opens. Can't wait to see it. Lydia Horan right now. Hi, Lydia.
Hello.
And Lydia plays...
I play Mrs. Lovett.
And would you mind giving us a short description of Mrs. Lovett or your character?
I would say Mrs. Lovett is a doer and a thinker and is a busy, busy, busy person. She loves to get her hands into everything, and she loves to solve problems. She's constantly thinking quickly in the moment when problems arise, and that's what I love about her. And she loves life. She loves life. Times are hard for her, but that doesn't matter. She loves life.
What does she do for a living?
Well, she bakes pies. She owns a pie shop, Mrs. Lovett's Pie Shop. And she bakes pies, and she's not doing very well at the beginning of the show because times are hard, and she basically her pies are made out of crust and lard, and there's very little inside the pies.
Until
I don't want to give the plot
until
away.
Plot point A happens, or plot point B.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mrs. Lovett is not your first role at Live Arts.
No, but I actually haven't performed a lot at Live Arts. I've directed at Live Arts, and I performed once before in How I Learned to Drive, which was quite a while ago. And I played the character a little bit in that, and that was a very sort of controversial piece. Dark pieces.
Paula Vogel's play?
Yes.
Not necessarily about learning how to drive.
No, about learning some other things about her uncle.
But
that was the last play I performed here. I have performed in other theaters, but the last thing I did at Live Arts was I directed a production of The Pillow Man.
Ah, The Pillow Man. I saw that. That was great. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
Maybe a similar dark theme, you know, without the music.
Right.
So this is a dark theme with music.
Right.
And you have, if I'm not mistaken, a whole family who's active or been active in Live Arts, too.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I started with Live Arts as a staff person here. I began the latte program here. I was the first education
program.
Director at Live Arts. The Live Arts, well, at that point, it was called Live Arts Theater Training Ensemble, and I don't know if it's changed its name to something else. But it was the youth program primarily and doing workshops for adults as well. And so I was the first person in that position that Rhonda Hewitt has now and loved the job and was with the job for about 4 years. And then I moved on and I now teach at Tandem Friends School. I do drama there. So Live Arts and I go way back, actually.
And the family, the rest of your family?
My husband's an actor, Michael Horan, and he's been in a lot of shows here at Live Arts. And then I have two daughters who both most recently performed in Urinetown here at Live Arts, along with their dad. We've often done shows together, so that's kind of fun.
I saw Urinetown, too. It, too, was fantastic. Not as dark.
No.
Well...
But see, music helps because they do push a guy off a building in your in town.
This is true.
It's funny.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of humor in Sweeney Todd, too.
Right.
I mean, Mrs. Lovett really provides a lot of the comic relief that's needed to break the tension in this play. Because it is a dark play, you've got to have someone, and I mean, there's more than Mrs. Lovett, but she's primarily, I think her role is to provide some comic relief for the dark moments.
And what is your experience with the play? Have you been in the play before?
I have never been in the play before, but it is a part I have always wanted to play. And it came at a time in my life where I'm very busy and I direct shows over at Tandem and I teach over at the Orange School of Performing Arts and I have so much going on, but when I heard that Live Arts was doing this play, I said, I have to take this opportunity to audition. I can't pass it up. And I'm so glad that I auditioned because here I am playing Mrs. Lovett. And it's really a part of a lifetime. It's one of those types of parts.
Yeah. What are some of the reasons that that this is a role of a lifetime?
I would say the main reason is because I love the music of Stephen Sondheim. And I've had other experiences with his music in other shows. And I love the story of this, too. But his music is just incredible. I've done Into the Woods. I've done Sunday in the Park with George. And I'm just a huge fan of his music. And I think Sweeney Todd is one of his best, if not the best.
Yeah.
And to have the opportunity to sing a masterpiece like this is just an opportunity of a lifetime.
What is it for someone who doesn't know what makes it a masterpiece? What makes it something that really attracts you, the singer part of you, not maybe it's the singer and the actor part. What is it about that?
Well, what's interesting is that the singer and the actor part really come together primarily because of the composition of the music. You know, I approach this role really through the music first. Because really the whole character is in the music. The rhythms he sets up for Mrs. Lovett tells you who she is and how she thinks and how she moves and how she speaks. And it's all right there in the music. And that's the cool thing. It reminds me of Shakespeare in a way. You know, you perform Shakespeare and it's all right there in the line for you. It's the same way with Stephen Sondheim's music and his lyrics. And your character is right within all of that.
Sondheim is that therefore the Shakespeare of modern musicals.
I think so, most definitely. Even harder than the West Pies in London, and beyond and nothing more, is that just revolting or greasy and gritty? It looks like it's melting and tastes like well pity.
Of Live Arts. I'm with John Gibson, the artistic director and CEO, but also the director of Sweeney Todd, the musical. Is it called Sweeney Todd, the musical?
It has a different subtitle. It is Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, a musical thriller. And it's the only one of Sondheim's shows that has a subtitle other than a musical or a musical comedy. So that thriller part, I think, means something that's important to him.
Yeah, I think it definitely is a thriller. Sweeney Todd is on the main stage, the downstage at Live Arts. It opens December 12th and it runs through January 10th and primarily Wednesday through Saturday, but there's some extra shows and there's some holiday special shows and some
New Year's Day. Come on down, New Year's Day.
Come down, celebrate the new year.
Come celebrate the holidays with Sweeney Todd because that's what passes for a holiday show here at Live Arts. It's Victorian London, and there's lots of red, but not exactly the way you are used to it.
Not holly berries.
Not holly berries. No.
Okay, so I've talked to you before in the season announcement, and you had said this is a play that you've wanted to do for a while. That was maybe a version of this play was what interested you in theater when you were a child.
Yeah, it was the first play I have any conscious memory of seeing. And it was in 1969 or 70. I was 4 years old, and my older brother was in the eighth grade play, and it was Sweeney Todd. And in those days, they thought that taking 4 or 5 year olds to see the story of the serial killer who makes cannibal meat pies was a good idea. And it blew my mind, and it continues to. That was before Stephen Sondheim got hold of it. This was this is a story that's been around for now 170 or so years, and it was a staple of Victorian melodrama and Victorian theater. And Christopher Bond, a British actor and playwright, got hold of the raw material and turned it into something pretty elegant. Added blank verse, added the characters of Johanna and Judge Turpin, and created the subplot that revolves around Sweeney's revenge. And that was a crucial addition, as it gives Sweeney a motive. It gives him a reason for being the person that he is, rather than just, you know, bonkers.
So, and the music came along when
1979. Hugh Wheeler and Stephen Sondheim adapted it for the stage. Sondheim had seen it a couple of years earlier in London as the play adapted by Christopher Bond, and lots of the play is in is just lifted wholesale and is in the musical. The character of Mrs. Lovett and her Cockney inflected comic language and persona, that's pretty much wholesale from the play. And when you read the play and the musical side by side, there are a lot of interesting parallels. But it was a huge hit in 1979. It played in an enormous theater. And we've brought it back down to a smaller scale here in the downstage of Live Arts. It'll be a really intimate setting. And some people who've seen the film are worried about the intimacy of that setting, because the film was really gory and really bloody. And we've chosen a different path. There's no stage blood. There's no horrible gaping neck wounds. And there's none of that. The worst thing about them, I liked the film a lot. But the sound effects, my God, if I had to hear one more body crunching into that pit, I might not have made it through to the end. But here we've aimed instead to capture the full range of kinds of theater that this place this play is, and it is simultaneously a melodrama, an epic. It is a piece of operetta, of opera bouffe, of West End British music hall. There are a lot of different influences. And so our version is very stripped down. It's very actor-driven. The cast is on stage throughout. They sing beautifully from the leads on down. But especially since they have so much singing time, Doug Schneider and Lydia Horan, I couldn't be luckier than to have two singing actors who are so good at both halves of the job. They're both really strong actors and really strong singers, and it makes my job more than usual to just get out of the way of it and to try to tell the story. So that's what we've done, and it's a good story. There's a reason this story has been around for 170 years, because people find it really compelling, and there's something. I think this is a good introductory piece to theater for kids not too young. You know, maybe not the 4 or 5 years old that I was. But especially in this version, I think 9 or 10 year olds would get a lot out of it, and it would be appropriate for them.
Because two things came to mind. There's a lot of singing. I mean, it's a very acting and singing entertaining piece.
Yeah, people argue whether it's an opera or not. Technically, it's not, because there is some dialogue. But of the 2 hours and 20 minutes. I would say all but a half an hour of it is sung. It's a monumental score, and I'm so lucky to have Greg Harris as music director. He's been my friend and collaborator for a dozen years, I knew that if I was going to take this one on, this piece that has such high expectations, that the music had to be well served, and he's really serving it up in a very tasty way.
And so a follow-up on the children thing is, I'll say that when I brought my nephew to Urinetown, and he was amazed. He was 10 years old at the time. He was amazed, but I talking to my brother, his father, afterwards, and he was amazed and affected for weeks. And it was just because, even though there's a lot of stimulus and a lot of entertainment and a lot of the internet and movies and Twitter and everything for kids these days, to have live performers standing there, just a few feet away, singing, acting, dancing, and then to be able to meet them afterwards in the lobby, and he was just amazed by that. So that, I think it is a great, musicals are great for to bring children to. But my question about the intimacy of the space is, I was just in the space. It looks more like it's being set up for a jazz club or a cabaret. Is that also for the?
Yeah, I wanted it to feel like a music hall, to feel like a beer hall, and to encourage people to come down and have a good time. One of the things that's very surprising about this show is how funny it is. It's hysterical. Serious, difficult things about this piece, but there's also a lot that's not. There's a lot that's just pure joy, and so to have it in a setting where we can be really theatrical and people can be comfortable and have a beer at a table, or if you don't want to sit at a table, there are plenty of chairs too in rows like you're used to in a theater. there's choice and a variety of experiences possible.
And since you've been familiar with this play for a long time, since your childhood, has there been something throughout this process? Is this the first time you've directed Sweeney Todd?
Yeah, it's the first time I've directed Sweeney Todd. The first time I've directed Sondheim, but
And has there been something in this process of directing the play that a surprise or something new? I'm sure there's new information, but was it something?
Yeah, what's so surprising is coming up against genius, and he is. He is a rare bird. He is an absolute man of the theater. I've known this music since it was first on an album. Those were those round things with grooves that we used to play before there were iPods, like you're listening to this one on. I wore the record out listening to it, and now I get a chance to go back in and listen to the words anew and to hear them over and over, and they're so intricate and so smart and not just clever but wise. There's a lot about human nature in this piece, and we all have passions that we don't know how to control, and everyone at some time or another in their life is a victim. And so those basic human emotions are writ large. They're just in giant scale here. And the lyrics and the music capture that. They capture the totality of a human experience. And they do so with grace and precision. And it's just a pleasure and a challenge to work up to that level.
Well, thank you very much.
Ray, thank you. Thank you, friends of iPods out there everywhere, for listening. Now, come on, let go of those earbuds and come listen to some music in space with real singers and real musicians there in front of you.
I have sailed the world, beheld its wonders. From the Dardanelles to the mountains of Peru. But there's no place like London. I feel home again. I could hear the city bells ring whatever I would do. No, there's no place like London.
Mr. Todd, sir.
Are young. Life has been kind to you.
Sorry, okay.
It's not open on SeavillePodcast.com.
Right. I've listened to you on there before, right?
Oh, yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here with a big fan of mine. Okay. Well, now I'm still in rehearsal B, and It's still Tech Weekend for Sweeney Todd. I'm here with Ken Ferguson, who has done several shows at Live Arts, but is also in Sweeney Todd. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ray. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. So what are you playing in Sweeney Todd?
I'm a member of the ensemble for Sweeney Todd.
The ensemble.
Which means I play several different roles supporting the story.
Oh, cool.
I get the opportunity to be killed along the way.
Hey, you know what I forgot to get from John?
What's that?
Maybe you can give me this. The story. Not with any spoiler, but just a basic setup of, like, give us the time period, the lead characters.
All right. So Sweeney Todd is a barber with a wife and a daughter. And there is a creepy old judge who falls in love with Sweeney's wife and has him sent away to Botany Bay for life. And the story picks up when Sweeney Todd re-enters London, out to find his family and ultimately seek his revenge.
And then he runs into Mrs. Lovett.
He runs into Mrs. Lovett. He tries some nasty pies. He finds out some things that have happened to his wife and family while he was gone, and sets out to both get revenge against the judge and rescue his daughter.
Now, John was saying that the demon barber of Fleet Street... but it's funny, or at least there's lots of funny parts in it. Do you agree?
I agree. There's some humor in there.
Yeah. Anything that's come to mind as like a...
Pretty much everything that comes out of Mrs. Lovett's mouth is funny to me.
Oh, yeah.
And Lydia's comedic timing is really good. So I enjoy watching her throughout the whole show. Pretty much anytime she's on stage, you hear laughter.
So, but you've done some plays here before.
I have. This is my third, and all three with John Gibson. So it might be time to branch out after this one.
All three with John Gibson as the director.
That's right. Macbeth, Streetcar Named Desire, and now Sweeney Todd.
Yes. So I saw Macbeth, Streetcar Named Desire, and I'm going to see Sweeney Todd.
Excellent. I would say the great thing about John Gibson is he puts together a really strong cast of people. Not only that they're talented on stage, but he does a good job of putting together a cast that gets along off stage, which is key to making this whole thing work.
Yeah, and I told him this, and it may be partly because of the script, but in the lead character in Urinetown, or the most memorable character in Urinetown, was the ensemble.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad to hear that that you're in the ensemble, where that it's taking on this life of its own.
It is, and you know, the ensemble, we get to be on stage the whole time. We get to be witness to the whole story, supporting it, driving it through, singing it along, narrating it as we go. So it's a lot of fun.
So it's like a performance. What do I say?
The whole thing's a performance, right?
The whole thing is a performance. You walk in, it's a performance.
It's like you're at a play.
It's like you're at a play. Is it like a cabaret, or like something you might see, because I know you've been to the Fringe Festival, where it's the Spiegel Garden, or it's just like, does it relate to anything that's...
I would say you'd be looking less at performance art. We truly are narrating the story.
Yeah.
And the ensemble, while they're on stage during some of the more intense moments, may be observing or mirroring what's going on, rather than something very showy like a cabaret.
So it's a real... true telling of the story as written by Stephen Sondheim.
That's right.
Not a adaptation.
No, and we acknowledge the whole time that the audience is present, and the ensemble will have a time where we're on stage in a scene and a part of that scene, and then immediately thereafter be just like the audience, interested in what's going on.
Well, thank you, Ken. Correct me if I get these dates wrong, but Sweeney Todd opens in the downstage and the main stage at Live Arts. It opens December 12th, that's this Friday.
That's right.
And it runs through January 10th. There's no Christmas show, but there's a New Year's Day show.
That's right.
So go to the website, check out what the exact dates are, and come down and see the show. I look forward to it.
Good, we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you for taking the time
Thank
to talk
you,
to
Ray.
Us.
These are my friends. See how they glisten. See this one shine, how he smiles in the light, my friends, my faithful friends. Speak to me, friend, whisper, I'll listen. I know. You've been locked out of sight all these years. Like me, my friend, well, I've come home to find.
Hello, dog.
Okay, hello, Ray.
So does that you lower voice? No. I'm all of a sudden turned into like some...
It's called fake.
Fake.
It's called faking it. Trying to be a baritone.
You were saying you were a baritone, but you normally sing tenor.
I am. I always thought I was a tenor. I mean, that's what my voice teacher in New York said. And so all of a sudden, you know, the older you get, things get thicker. But this is truly a baritone role, and I had to treat it like that. So
this is... I'm now here backstage with Doug Schneider, who plays Sweeney Todd, the title role.
In Sweeney Todd.
He plays the demon, the title, the demon subtitle
barber.
Role.
The demon barber. That's right.
And we were demon saying barber. That he's sung... A lot. Is sung the right verb? Mm-hmm. Can I conjugate that correctly? Mm-hmm. Many people in Charlottesville know Doug for singing, and he has sung a lot, and not only in Charlottesville, but where else, perhaps?
New York, L.A.
New York City, L.A., yes, City of Angels.
That's right.
And is gracing the Live Arts main stage in the title role of Sweeney Todd. So... a normal question I ask a normal actor is what...
Wait a minute.
Well, you have more experience than the person that I've been interviewing. So I say something like, you know, what was it that attracted to you this role? But you've probably been attracted to this role not
forever.
Just forever.
I saw the original Broadway production in 1979, the night after they won all their Tonys, which was a seminal event in my life.
Yeah.
And it was just an incredible experience. And I'd heard a lot about the show prior to that, and then so I was really excited to see it, and it was amazing. It was one of the most amazing theatrical things I'd ever seen. And I'd never seen a musical like it. It was as close to an opera, really, as musical theater had come at that point. This was before Phantom of the Opera and Evita, and I think Jesus Christ Superstar had preceded it, but I don't think it had been on Broadway yet. And Sondheim being, you know, Sondheim being the genius he is, it just was this incredible piece of theater that, you know, stayed with me forever. I bought the record. It was a two-disc album in those days.
Fold?
Yep. Oh, yeah. And that was unusual for a Broadway cast album. And it had the libretto, so it had the entire, what they had recorded. Mm-hmm. They had kind of printed out the script of what they'd recorded. So I would sit in my apartment and read this and listen to this music over and over again. And 15 years ago, I was working with John on Three Penny Opera. I was vocal directing, and that was in the old Live Arts space. And during a break one day, he said to me, "So, you know, if you had your choice of shows that you'd like to do, what would you like to do here?" And I said, "Sweeney Todd." And I didn't know that that was a show that he kind of always, I mean, I kind of had always wanted to do. So when it came up, it just seemed like, well, here's the chance. You know, you only get one chance at this stuff. So
as close to an opera as a musical had gotten at the time, how percentage-wise?
I'd say probably about 90% of it is sung. A little less. There's more dialogue than in doing the show now, I realize there's a lot more dialogue than I remember. But it's much more, and the music is much more the story in many ways. I mean, the dialogue is there to kind of further certain things, but the music is the whole schmear. Really.
So briefly, without any spoilers, any plot spoilers, what is the story?
Sweeney Todd is a man who was a barber in London, just Victorian London, and he had his shop on Fleet Street, and he had a beautiful wife and a young daughter. I think she was a year old. And his wife caught the attention, corrupt judge and his beetle Bamford, and they manipulated the situation so that they could get rid of Sweeney. So they arrested him on a trumped up charge, and we don't ever really know what that is, and convicted him and sent him to Australia, which was, of course, a prison island, Botany Bay. And and then they manipulated his wife into coming to them, and they molested her, essentially. And she went insane, according to the story, and poisoned herself. And the daughter was taken in by the judge as his ward and raised. So Sweeney escapes from Botany Bay, is found at sea, drifting at sea by the ship Bountiful. He's brought back to London, and he goes to find, he goes back to Fleet Street to find out what happened to his wife, his child, and really his life, and to have his vengeance on the people who destroyed his life. He comes back, not knowing what happened, but knowing that they don't know that he's escaped because he was sent off for life.
Right.
So they expected he would never come back, and right. he would probably die there. Right. He was this barber. How is he going to survive?
Mm-hmm.
And of course he does, and he comes back, and he takes his vengeance, or tries to anyway.
So it's an interesting level of inquiry I have now, because that you, I would say that you knew the role really well before you came to audition for it here at Live Arts, but now you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
So are there things about it that you've discovered that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You didn't know really well.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, first of all, I was 26 years old when I first saw the show, mm-hmm. so, you know, do the math. And, you know, so life has a way of giving you more weight and figuring mm-hmm. out, you know, you figure out a lot more stuff about things. And the whole character of Sweeney, you know, everyone thinks it's the demon barber, but mm-hmm. he's really not an evil man. Mm-hmm. He's a man that circumstance has really played a very unfair hand. And what he does is realizing that he's a victim, realizing that he has no choice, he actually decides to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are things that in doing the role you discover and you figure out, and then the layers of the mm-hmm. humanity. Because it's on the surface, it's very easy to just play him like he's a crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not. He's a man.
Right, because he would have reason to be angry about being
yeah.
banished.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But he's
kind of having his life destroyed.
And then he comes back, it doesn't get better. When he comes back, it gets Ooh. Worse.
No, right. absolutely, because he finds out what's happened to his right. wife and child, and how difficult it's going to be to get to the people who injured him, who stole everything from him.
And so. his daughter's Joanna?
Johanna. We're pronouncing it Johanna. Johanna. It is Johanna, but
and she is still alive.
She's alive. She's 17 now, mm-hmm. I guess, and or 16, and she is the ward of Judge Turpin, and she is essentially a prisoner in her own home. He will not let her out of his sight.
And she's also the character is involved in the subplot. You would say
yes,
is there
yes. Well,
romantic.
She, yes, there's a whole thing that involves her and Anthony. Who does only knows Todd peripherally. I mean, he rescued him and they became friends on the voyage home, but only to a point. And Anthony even says early in the show, I have honored your request that I not ask you any questions, but I just have to know, you know, if you're going to be all right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anthony goes off on his own and discovers Johanna. And their subplot kind of circles around the main plot of what Sweeney and Mrs. Lovett, who is the pie shop owner who owns the shop below Sweeney Todd's old tonsorial parlor. And he comes back to that place.
He comes back to Mrs. Lovett's shop.
She recognizes him, and because they set up shop together.
Hmm? His shop used to be
above hers.
Above hers.
Right.
So
she knew what happened in intimate detail to his wife and child.
So she can fill him in. And to my memory, she has saved some of his favorite
yes,
shop
tools.
Instruments. His
tools
of the trade.
Yes, absolutely.
So you had the conversation with John Gibson, who was directing the play 15 years ago, about this. Now, John's, like you know, John's already told me that he's been in love with this play since he was a child as well.
Right.
And so that must be really... Well, what is it like? You know, I mean.
Well, I mean, you know, for me, it's.
I hate to do that to cut you off, mm-hmm. but I want to back up and say, do you find that there are other people in the cast who have the same type of experience where this play has been a play that they've wanted to do, or this part, or this?
I think so. I think most of the men in the cast wanted to be Sweeney.
Well, it's one of those roles. It's like you know, it's
a meaty man's role,
Hamlet or
yeah.
Brick from Cat in the Hot Tin Roof,
yeah.
or you know.
I mean, it's Shakespeare. I mean, it really is, you know, in so many ways the great Shakespearean character, tragic, comic, you know, it's all of that beautiful stuff. Plus, if you love musicals, the music is some of the most exquisite ever written. I mean, it really is just dense, intense, wonderful, character-driven music, as only Sondheim knows how to do.
And I see the set... is the space has been configured sort of like a cabaret, mm-hmm. like a jazz club, maybe.
John's concept, I think, was to create kind of a like in Act Two, Mrs. Lovett has created this kind of garden mm-hmm. in her outside of her pie shop, kind of like an alehouse. Uh-huh. And that's what John's concept was, to have, you know, this kind of cabaret table so that when the audience is sitting there, they're actually part of the action, especially in Act Two.
So it'll be nice if to describe the space a little bit, just since we're on the topic, is that the space, there'll be tables surrounding the stage. The stage is thrust out into the audience, so the tables will be at the same level as the actor, so you will kind of be part of it, like a garden, yeah. like a garden performance experience.
I'm calling it a macabre. Circus. It's going to be very bizarre. The costumes are wild. Trish Hamlett did an amazing job. They're gorgeous. They're interesting. They're creepy. Makeup's creepy. Wigs are creepy. It's just creepy. It's fun.
It's just creepy.
It's just creepy, but it's fun.
So, well, thank you, Doug.
Oh, thank you
for taking
Ray.
Time. I can't Thanks wait to see the this. Show.
Thanks.
And as you know, I was snuck into rehearsal earlier. Was listening from the balcony. So I'm very excited about seeing it. Sweeney Todd opens at Live Arts December 12th, this Friday, and it runs through January 10th.
See this one shine, how he smiles in the light, my friend.